akkurat nå til alle hjemmefiksere som liker lave priser. Et Borobit-sett med 70 deler til skrudde 249 kroner. Ingenting kan stoppe deg nå.
På Muskelrock 2016 fikk jeg tidenes kveld med Satan, og jeg gleder meg til å se ham igjen på Abbeys Festival. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, detaljene får du her. For noen år tilbake så var jeg på Muskelrock, og jeg hadde avtalt å gjøre et intervju med Satan. Men vi rakk liksom aldri å gjøre det før jeg støtte på ham etter konserten deres klokka ett om natta. Vi klumpet oss sammen I backstagebussen deres og fliret I en time før vi for å ete pizza og drekke øl og feire jobberstaden min. Det var ikke akkurat den verste jobberstaden, det som var helt konge med et gjenhør akkurat nå. Og du, de spiller på The Abyss Festival I Göteborg nå første helga I mars. Har ikke kjøpt deg billett enda, så må du gjøre det nå.
So then the other ones, they can just regret that they didn't come because then they couldn't pick songs. Because in the end, I want you guys to pick all the songs for the show.
Okay.
There should be one Satan song and 9 or 10 non-Satan songs. Like your
You're
going
to have a hard time getting us to agree on all of this.
You don't have to agree. You never have to agree.
Because we'll probably all choose a different Satan song.
Okay, then, but I think that we'll probably talk for more than 15 minutes, so then we actually can have 3 Satan songs. If not 5, who knows?
Do you know where he keeps his leads, Russ's leads?
Oh, Russ's leads. Usually in his box.
He hasn't got a bag though, has he?
No.
They won't fit in his box, you see. It's
all right,
it's fine.
I need some food.
The bat drops here.
So hungry.
I'm desperately hungry.
I've only had 2 sandwiches today.
Oh, no.
I'm
you should have gotten something to eat now.
We didn't have time when we first came down.
No.
It was too much of a rush, so... And it's bad eating before you play, because, like...
But you've got food tickets, so you can
go... Yeah, we've got food tickets, so we'll just go over and get some. When we've done this, we'll grab some.
I'm really sorry coming here, barging in after your show. But it was great. It was fun seeing you again.
Loved it.
Russ's gear's there.
Really nice sound.
The pedal's there. All this sport
You need an eye in the middle, dude.
The knee that goes with this and this
You'll be interested in that.
Right.
Tit beer.
That's all.
Big,
long,
does it say tit?
No, it's tit.
What if you put an eye in there?
Original lager. It's organic beer.
I honestly don't know how anybody can drink this stuff.
It's not that good.
I don't drink beer. At all.
What do you drink then, except Jaeger?
Just Jaeger. Whiskey.
Jaeger. Whiskey.
Malt.
Cointreau.
Anything other than
Amarillo. Anything. I won't drink anything I don't like the taste of. So, pretty much all liqueurs I like.
So, if I'd bring a coffee and Bailey's, you'd drink that?
Oh, God.
Oh, I love that.
Bailey's.
Brilliant.
I've got your back.
One of my favourites.
Yeah.
I should have brought it here, but no, I actually can't.
Try a coffee with Irish amaretto coffee. In.
Yeah, that's also good.
It's very good.
Or amaretto sour. That's all a good drink.
Yeah.
Get one shot of Jägermeister, put it in a glass. Get a shot of Fireball, put it in a glass, and like James Bond, shake it, not stirred, and then it's good.
Russ, are you hanging about?
Russy.
They're all gone.
You joining in?
Just ask for some more.
If you want a beer, I'll go and get you one.
No, I'm going up. I've just got to go and get some beer now. I'll come back.
We've heard that before. He doesn't like doing interviews much, so.
So maybe we should just start.
Yeah, just start. Yeah, because you won't get to show now. That would be part of these kid away, won't you?
Okay, so even though this has been going for like 3 minutes already, and Brian has been talking for half an hour during the Tyson Dog interview, from the beginning.
I just kind of thought that, you know, in the Tyson Dog interview, I just thought I would introduce a bit of class.
Right, spice it up a bit.
Spice it up a little.
Like every boy, every girl.
Yeah, got a bit of spice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Spice Girls are English, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
If it's Jerry Halliwell.
But they're not very good.
She was my favorite.
Jerry Halliwell is beautiful.
She was the bomb.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's nothing to do.
Yeah, no. we're digressing.
No.
Yeah, we are. But that doesn't matter, because that's a good interview. I haven't, to be honest, prepared anything because I don't...
Just ad lib.
Yeah, yeah. It's a festival. We shouldn't prepare. No. But anyway, the listeners should know who you are. So who are you and what do you do in the band?
I am Graham English and I play the bass.
I'm Brian Ross and I sing.
And I'm Steve Ramsey, I play guitar.
And that's a mosquito on your head.
Yeah.
There's loads of them in here.
And his job is to annoy the crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
Like a mosquito.
The mosquito, yeah.
So, you just did a show at Muscle Rock. How do you think it went?
We did.
Great. Really fantastic. This is the second time we played, and it was great the last time, and it was great again tonight.
Yeah. We kind of knew what to expect, you know, because last time we played, it was... Everything's set up great. The whole atmosphere of the place is great. So we came back.
It's an enjoyable festival to play.
It is.
Because it's all well run, and you kind of don't have to worry about anything. If they'll say, what do you need? You tell them, and it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, a lot of festivals could actually learn from that.
Yeah.
It's very rare when we play a festival and we have enough time to get the stage sound right.
Yeah.
You know, normally it's just so rushed and then during the gig you're saying, please turn this up, please turn that down. And it was perfect, innit?
Yeah. We had enough setup time and everything.
And that makes it so much
10 minutes just to chill.
my only complaint is that the foldback speakers are too far away. I like to be close to the audience as possible.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time on the other side of the monitors.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
The stage is quite tall here.
Yes, it is.
But it also was the festivals that brought Satan back, really, because you were away for a long time.
It was keeping true, really, wasn't it? Kicked it all off.
Wasn't that your second gig?
Yeah. We played Wagon in 2004 or 5.
But with a different drummer, because Sean had an accident and broke his foot. He brought his right foot, right ankle, so he couldn't play, couldn't get the strength up in his foot, so he swapped to his left foot now. So that's the reason we did it.
Retrained to play the drums with the different leg, and it's
actually
unbelievable.
Tyson
and then he gave us a ring and said, I think I can play.
Well, he was Blitzkrieg's drummer.
Well, he was Blitzkrieg.
He said, oh, it's great, and we got together, had a rehearsal, and then we rang Ollie at Keeper 2 and said, we'll come and do the festival now, because he hassled us for 5 years.
Yeah.
Since Wacken.
One of them got cancelled because I fell over and
I won't do it again.
but I'm so glad you did it, because I was there.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, cool. And I hadn't thought that Satan would play again.
when
I saw you were booked, it was like,
if Satan do play Keeper 2 again, it won't be with me, because I refuse to play it.
Why?
Because that was part of the deal. The deal was, Ollie had a word with me and said, you've got to bring Satan to play here. And I said, okay, I'll promise you, I'll get Satan to play here. But you got to give another gig to Blitzkrieg. Because he'd been promising for years. Oh, you know, put Blitzkrieg. So he said, okay, I'll give you my word. If you get Satan to play, then Blitzkrieg will be on the following year. And he still hasn't been made good on his promise. So until he does, I will not do it again.
What? I understand.
What?
That's quite rude. Sure.
It's very rude. And I think, you know, when I give my word, I deliver. I do not... make excuses or whatever, and don't go back on it. And because otherwise your word is worth it's worth nothing.
Exactly.
Sean's gone deaf.
Hey, Sean.
You can join in if you want, Sean.
You can come and sit with us.
He won't be able to hear any questions, though.
Hear anything?
Deaf drummer. The monitor mix was too loud.
A deaf drummer just makes it perfect. What a rock band is all about.
It's very Spinal Tap, isn't it?
It is extremely Spinal Tap.
But what Satan or under other names, it has been through a lot of changes throughout the years. What made it possible that this lineup was the one, the classic one, was the one to be reunited and not one of the other ones?
Because this one was the best. Mm. And it took us a long time to realise that.
So you admit it.
Yeah, basically we changed direction and everything, changed the name and direction, and we changed the singer even, because we thought we were doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And we obviously weren't.
We should have never really fucked
it. It was a different,
too much, you know,
different era, you know, like nobody respected what we do. And it's taken like 30 years for people to listen back and go, wow, that was great then. And we'd like that now, you know. But very little support we had when we released Caught in the Act. Yeah. The reviews of the album, especially in the two countries that we were most popular in, didn't like the album. So.
I think it was
Caught in the Act?
Yeah.
Slagged in England and in Holland.
I think, personally.
But I think we might have been a bit ahead of our time.
Well ahead of our time, I think.
The audience has grown into it. And strangely now, they're mostly young people left.
That's the amazing thing. I did say that out there, that you know, there's a lot of people in the audience that probably weren't even born when we do Caught in the Act, and they've picked up on the band through the likes of, I guess, Metallica or whatever, and you know, bands that kind of band like, and they've thought, well, we'll have a listen to that, and thank God that they have, because they're now there, and they go out and they've bought, you know, Caught in the Act and stuff. And it's nice to see younger people in the audience. I mean, because at first we thought we were going to be playing to people our age, and there was going to be
no
young
people. Dead.
But quite sadly, we play to more younger people than we do to people our age. And not only that, there's girls in the audience as well, which is brilliant.
We never got there was like two girls, and there was like, that's a girl.
That is, you can tell, you know.
You can't tell. Yes, there's a definite difference.
Yeah, before you weren't sure if they were girls.
No, there wasn't any.
We had a check. Just in case.
You know, occasionally you'd get a girl at the gig, but she was only there because her boyfriend wanted to be.
Most of the people back in the day when we used to do gigs, most of the crowd were musicians. Because the musicians respected us because of our playing, you know, but as far as fans went, it was difficult.
Mm-hmm. But it's probably easier now when you have the internet, because that's probably why
that's the
most
reason
of
we're
us
back, really.
It's a double-edged sword. Yeah. The internet is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's been great because it's made it easier to reach more people a lot quicker. But on the other hand, it kind of, in some ways, is killing music, because people go, you know, a lot of people, thank God it's not our fans, but a lot of bands I know have suffered from, well, why should I go and buy that when I can download it for free? Mm-hmm. And it is a sad state of affairs when a band has to go into a recording studio and pay a lot of money to record an album just for loads of people to download it for nothing and not buy it. Mm. Because they have very little foresight in that respect, because if you continue to do that, the bands cannot carry on.
Can't afford to do it.
You can't afford to. Yeah. Fortunately, I think our fans and Blitzkrieg fans are quite loyal in that they do. They may well download, but then once they've heard it, they'll go, I'm going to have a copy of that, and they go out and buy it. So, I mean, I must admit, that's what I do. That is my telephone ringing.
cool sound. Know,
it's the music from Halloween.
Yeah, I know.
They'll go away in a
will
minute.
Will we be killed?
Yeah, probably.
The door is open. The door. It's dark
what
outside.
What was I saying?
But people buy the album.
Yeah,
people do. Downloads.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I must admit that's what I do. I'll hear, Disturbed have got a new album out, so I thought, right, I'll download that, and then once I've done that and listened to it a few times, I'll go and buy it.
Yeah.
Incidentally, it's Disturbed's new album is awesome. It is really good.
It's a great way to source new music.
Yeah,
the internet is the best way to do that.
Yeah,
it's still an old school thing though, because if we were selling as many records as we are popular now, we could all pack our jobs in and live off it.
Yeah, we could.
So if we were in the 80s now and as popular as we are now, we could all live from the proceeds of the records.
I mean, the only saving sacrifice really is that recording costs have come down drastically because of the digital age.
Yes.
When we were doing it on 24-track tapes, it was costing thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds.
You know, the old 2-inch master.
Studio costs
were
extremely
massively expensive.
High. And because of digital, it's quicker. Everything goes.
And of course, now you can record at home.
Yeah.
Which actually is quite a great thing. However, we still do like to go into a studio and do it the old way.
Yeah.
We could.
We like
just
that atmosphere,
at home,
really.
Yeah, we do.
That's kind of one of the beauties of Caught in the Act. It was a bunch of kids in a studio playing it basically live, you know. Yeah. And I think
with
that's...
no money, so we had
with
to
no
play
money.
Life.
Yeah, we had to play it live. We had money had like 5 days.
But yeah, it sounded good.
I think that's what it captured. You know, kids in the room just going, right, 1, 2, 3, 4, down. And I think really some hard. Of that got into
it's a
that
bit
album.
Rough around the edges.
Yeah.
It was hard. If you listen closely. We were all in one room and Sean was in another room.
He was in an office.
And he couldn't see us, so we had to count him in, or he had to count us in. Over the microphones, so that we could hear through, you know, what
I was
what,
in the fucking cupboard.
It was really hard.
There's the odd time a bus went past and we had to stop a tape.
Because
the bus went past, you could hear the bus on the tape, and we went, we'll have to do another one, lads. There's a bus on that one. Because they had the soundproofing.
So that's some of the nerve, the bus passing by.
It makes it real.
There isn't any on the album. We made sure that
we had to retake
them, so there isn't any on the album. But there was a lot of things that we lost on the cutting room floor, and it's a real shame. You know, stuff like Sean shouting through the microphones, "What's next?" And I would shout, "Blades of Steel, Sean." You know, and that obviously finished up on the cutting room floor.
Yay.
And it's a shame.
Hello, Raven put my style on their first one.
Well, yeah, I mean, back in the days of Mr. Presley and the Beatles, they recorded everything, every take. And then at the end of the day, they would choose the best one. We don't have anything like that, because if we screwed up, we would just simply start again and wipe what we'd done.
Basically, didn't have enough tape.
It's a shame, yeah.
We couldn't afford the tape.
And it's a shame, because some of the extra outtakes might have been interesting to look back on now.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they don't exist.
But that's I've seen that this is a typical thing for bands that were active in the 80s, that they think or feel that their sound wasn't good enough, or they didn't work enough with the album.
We don't like Courtney out.
Yeah,
it sounds terrible.
Well, actually, that was the second production. Yeah. Really, we did another one, didn't we?
Yeah.
But all the fans, they like it.
They like that old demo-y kind of
real.
I think they like the song.
It's very real.
The songs are very good.
The first album by Death Angel is very much like that as well. Mm. It's just like they've had 3 days in the studio. You can hear little mistakes and stuff.
The songs themselves are awesome songs. They're great songs.
But the actual recording of them is poor. Yeah. I mean, the songs...
But that's the sound that you got in studios back then.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah.
It was.
And people actually tend to be disappointed if the new album doesn't sound the same way, with the same shitty sound.
We've tried to capture that a little bit.
We were on the
newer ones, you know. But you have to keep up with the modern production techniques.
When we did Life Sentence, we were a little worried about that. Because
it's raw.
Yeah, it is raw. And Life Sentence, when we recorded that, we were a little worried that, you know, what we tried to do was... do the album that we would have done in 1984 to follow on from Caught in the Act. And I think, obviously from what people have said, I think we managed to do that. But it was done in a much better studio. And it was done, it was engineered by a much better engineer. What we finished up with was a really good, well-produced album. And we were kind of worried that people wouldn't accept it, but they did. That was really cool. But I think we did actually manage to do what we set out to do, and we did write the album that we would have done back in 1984.
It was supposed to be like the next album.
Yeah, it was supposed to be
how we approached it.
It's not that we're sort of dismissing the other albums that Satan did. Far from it. I mean, there is a place for those albums, and quite honestly, there's a couple of songs on them that I really like, and I really would like to record those at some point. It's Key to Oblivion and Iceman, but you know whether we do is another matter altogether. That's but I'd like to get them into the live set at the very least.
Yeah. That was a demo as well. That was actually a demo we sent to a record company to get a deal, and they said, "Can we release this?" Okay. Yeah. It cost us like 200 quid.
We actually
and they gave us $3,000 advance for it.
Yeah,
it cost 200 quid. Yeah. 2 days.
2 days. Yeah.
Record it all in one day, mix it all the next day.
With Mr. Jackson.
Four tracks.
So we don't have to fly anywhere next week.
No, we're done.
It's 6 weeks off.
Well, you're done. I'm not done. I've got Blitzkrieg to deal with when I get home.
Are you doing this full time?
No, we still work.
I have a job.
Got jobs.
I have a day job.
You have a day job, but you're still going back on tour after this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you have a nice day job then.
well, sort of fits in, doesn't it?
Some day job.
Some days.
Yeah. I work for the British government.
I'm self-employed, so I kind of pick and choose what
yes,
I do.
Yes, he does.
Yes, self-employed. So it kind of works great.
The British government give me pretty much everything.
You get good holidays, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much, I go in to work and I'll say, look, I need this time off to go on tour, and they give me the time off. Yeah, no. It's fine.
Yeah. It's experts.
He actually works as James Bond. He's a spy.
Oh, you're the next one going to be in the movie?
Well,
where are you?
I would do it if they asked me to, but you know.
James will now be drinking Jägermeister.
Nå lanserer vi i Meny vår nye kundeklubb, Meny Mer. Som Meny Mer-kunde får du mer tromfbonus på nye produkter hver uke. Og 10% tromfbonus på din første handel. Og i hele sommer får du 30% tromfbonus på over 200 produkter fra Jakobs utvalgte. Så bli med ny merkunde i dag og få flere fordeler når du handler hos oss. Med ny spiser du bedre, lever du bedre.
You see,
in the film,
playing James Bond would be cool, but it's not half as cool as playing Alice Cooper, which I enjoy doing immensely.
Or Doctor
Who.
If you got access to
Doctor Who,
you'd be like, I'm there.
I would do Doctor Who.
You're doing all kinds of stuff. Is this, he's being Alice Cooper and Blitzkrieg and whatever. Are you the
Skyclad?
We do Skyclad as well.
Yeah, of course.
We're working on a new album, and that's going to be released before the end of the year. We've got a new record deal.
Do some tours and
go touring next year.
Thanks.
We're kind of
fitted in.
We're very ambidextrous, aren't we?
Yeah.
For want of a better word.
But you told me outside here that you were working with a new Satan album too.
Yeah, yeah, we had quite a lot of songs left over from the last album,
and Russ has actually got a few extra new songs that he's been working on.
Some of the songs we left off were actually fucking
my
great. Really good songs.
My favourite one of all of them that Russ wrote, we didn't put on the album.
that?
So that's going on the next album. What's it called? Change of Words.
Yeah, I've got a couple of songs that were actually recorded. And I'm thinking, these are really good songs.
Yeah.
I was just listening to them the other day, and I'm thinking, these are really good songs. So, yeah.
We tend to demo all the songs for the album. We had 15 songs for the last album.
We
chose the ones that fitted together.
For the last album as well, the song My Own God, that had been around for quite a while. Graham
from
had written
the other album, wasn't it?
Yeah. Graham had written that, and it wasn't included on the last on that album. On Life Sentence, so it's a particular favourite of mine, so we really worked on that, and it fit on this one perfectly. So you know, there's a lot of songs out there that we've kind of worked on in one way or another that are ready for the next album.
We've never done that before. We've always only written exactly what we're going to put on a record. We've never had any spare tracks or anything. Everyone says, oh, there must be some old demos. No, there's nothing. It's exactly what we've written, but this time
we've got more.
We had 15 songs and we chose 10.
But that's actually something that every time I do an interview, I don't pretend that I like an album. I always just ask about it without saying anything about it.
Yeah.
But Satan is one of the few bands that came back and actually made a good album and not just an album because of
It's a sad thing.
It's a little unusual.
You know, I don't really see what relevance there is in yeah, we could have done it. We could have gone back and we could have listened to Court and the Act and said, okay, let's just change that slightly. Yeah. You know, I mean,
we had no intention of doing that.
We never intended to do that.
Just by rehearsing together, Russ came up with a riff and we put something together and we thought, oh, that's good, should we do another one? And then we made a demo and then we thought, this sounds like it could be a follow-on to Court and the Act.
Very much evolves, doesn't it? You know,
if we didn't like it, it wouldn't have happened.
It's a shame that, you know, one of the most eagerly awaited albums was Black Sabbath 13.
Yeah, that's terrible. A classic example.
And that is a classic example of, you listen
clones.
To every track on that album and you will hear a Black Sabbath track from earlier in their career. And I think that is a real shame.
Yeah.
Because that album
should
have been great.
It should have been something new.
Generic.
It's generic. Especially if you've written it on
the
computer.
The patterns and stuff. But, I mean, there's a track on there. The most obvious one is the track that is based on this track, Black Sabbath. It follows exactly the same pattern. It's a real shame. because they're such a talented band. Why did they do that? I really don't understand.
Well, they influenced like probably everyone.
Pretty much,
it was,
virtually
it was
everyone.
This, it was
all
this.
Oh yeah,
it's a lack of creativity.
Yeah,
maybe
it's about this.
But what should you do instead? Just quit?
I don't know. I think personally, I think Black Sabbath could have done a real good album that would have put the icing on the cake of their
career,
if you like.
I think they went for the easy option.
Option.
Yeah,
I think they went for the easy option.
If it sounds like the old Black Sabbath, everyone will recognise it.
Yeah.
But what about the friendship? Isn't that important too? Because Black Sabbath hasn't been the greatest of friends at all times. Maybe
Black Sabbath should have Bill Ward playing the drums.
They should have had Bill Ward playing the drums.
But if they're hating each other, then it wouldn't work out.
I don't think it was about to actually fly to Holland, because they weren't playing a show anywhere near us. Planned to fly to Holland to go and see them. Until we heard that Bill Ward wasn't playing the drums, and then
it's not Black Sabbath.
Nah, it's not Black Sabbath.
We saw them at we played at Hellfest, and I don't think you saw them. But
I deliberately did not go to see them because
I mean they were probably one of the best bands. But
Status Quo were the best band.
Yeah, Status Quo.
Status Quo.
Status Quo just captured all the audience, you know.
And but, what can you say? It's basic 12-bar blues, but they do it so well.
Enjoyable 12-bar blues.
And everybody in the audience was really enjoying that. Yeah. But, you know, I deliberately did not go to see Black Sabbath because I didn't want to be disappointed with what I saw. I went to see Deep Purple instead, and I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd left it in the realms of... Because Ian Gillan, who is one of my heroes, really, he can't do it anymore, which is a sad thing. And Steve Morse, although he's an amazing guitar player, is not right for Deep Purple.
It's funny because you got bands like that, and technically, not kind of boasting, but we pull it off in a way.
Why?
We kind of go on stage
because we're still 18
in our heads.
When we first got back together, the very first rehearsal, when we all stood together in that rehearsal room and started to play the first song, it was like, we'd only been together just yesterday.
Mm.
When we get together, the five of us, there's a kind of magic.
You know, we've played for long
enough.
There's
a spark.
To know that.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but when you put us together, it just works.
Mm.
And it's an amazing thing.
Fathoming it out, really.
Don't even try to fathom it out. Just accept it for what it is. It just works.
It's just Satan.
It's a match.
Mm. Yeah.
But what about, now we've been talking a lot about the old bands that can't get it done anymore. Do you follow any of the new bands?
Yeah, I like some of the new bands. I suppose Disturbed. Disturbed.
Fairly new.
I think they're great.
Yeah.
Avenged Sevenfold, I think they're great as well.
With Nature.
Yeah.
They played.
Yeah,
yeah. they're friends of mine too.
Yeah.
I mean, have you heard
great band.
Disturbed's version of... You're twisting your face.
But it's because I've only heard that.
I call that the rabid monkey when he does that.
Yeah.
But when they did Sounds of Silence,
he's got such a rich voice, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So he's not doing that. Well, and
if I was going to do a cover of Sound of Silence, I would have done it different. But the way that they've done it,
he looks like an Australian, doesn't he? It's hard to discount it.
it's hard to discount it because Disturbed have done such a great version of it.
Call that a knife.
I love it. I think it's great. My son, Alan,
I love him,
who plays in Blitzkrieg on guitar, and he also plays in the Alice Cooper band. Mm. One of his favourite bands is Disturbed, and he brought it to me and he said, "You've got to hear this. You've really got to hear this." And I listened to it and I said, "It's not as good as Simon and Garfunkel." But, you listen to it a few times and it sort of gets under your skin, you know. So I downloaded the album and listened to it, and then I went out and bought it. So that's cool.
So I should give them a new chance?
Give them a listen. The new album really is super. It's superb.
There's a few modern bands that we like. You know,
the Rabid Monkey does not appear on the new album.
System of a Down, which are new again.
We love System of a Down.
They're fucking
old. It is new.
Mental.
We love them.
Why did you put that on in the car?
Alex Slipknot as well.
I couldn't believe that.
Alex Slipknot. He's technically our new band, though. They've all been around for 20 years.
It's modern music, though.
Bob Dylan's bloody awful, but I would have rather listened to a Bob Dylan than that. That is really awful.
That was your wake-up music.
It's the music, man. It's all the stuff going on.
You're incredible. You like listening to Slipknot and Disturbed, but you hate Elvis, and you like Simon and Garfunkel, but you hate Bob Dylan.
It's individuals. It's a smorgasbord.
Bob Dylan wrote brilliant songs. He just can't do them himself because he can't sing.
No, he can't. Yeah.
He can't. Well, you listen to the Byrds. Their version of Tambourine
everyone's
pisses
version,
all over his own
version of
it.
Everyone's version of his
knocking
songs.
On heaven's door.
Everyone's better than him.
He writes brilliant songs.
They should have went, Bob, back off the mic.
Back off.
Back
go
off the
away.
Mic.
Just go
sell your song to someone else.
And write a load of songs
be
and give them to someone
else. He would have actually probably been as rich as he is now if he just sold his songs.
And then we come back to Elvis because maybe he didn't write his own songs, but he could do the songs that was written for him.
He did it in a different style. It was just so new at that period.
But he did it. When Bob Dylan wrote his songs,
he was a performer.
He sung them, but he couldn't do them.
He was a performer.
The Beatles basically shit on Elvis all over the place because they wrote his
songs. I like some Bob Dylan songs. I don't dislike them more.
I like a lot of Bob Dylan songs. It's just I don't like them done by Bob Dylan.
Yeah. I like some
apart from Maggie's Farm and Lay Lady Lay, which I think are really great songs.
Agreed. But do any of the British people like the Beach Boys?
Yeah. Oh, I love them.
Love them.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is, the Beach Boys and the Mamas and the Papas, they had
just the harmonies. What harmonies did they have?
The harmonies were amazing. And the Beatles borrowed a lot from the Beach Boys and Elvis, of course.
Well, like music, you know, and it's
if it's well done, any music's good.
That's absolutely. When Bob Dylan, some of his songs, when he's singing out of tune, it's like
when he's singing out of tune,
he just always sings out of tune.
Yeah, some of them are all right.
When has he ever sung in tune?
Some of them are okay.
It's close.
And then you compare that to the Beach Boys and the Mamas and Papas when it's all perfect harmony and
that was live.
California Dreaming by the Mamas and Papas is one of the most amazing songs ever. Really,
just the
Beatles, all that stuff, you know.
I love the Beatles. If it wasn't for the Beatles, I wouldn't be sitting here. Because
really,
I saw the Beatles and I thought, that's what I
want
to do.
70s, not afterwards, not the 80s metal scene or anything. It was all before.
We were part of it.
We loved Judas Priest before they did. What was it? British Steel and shit.
Bringing the law. Bringing the what? Bringing the what? Bringing the what?
It all turned into
Sinister Sin,
live album. I remember Russ, when we first started learning to play the guitar, we bought Unleashed in the East. And we sat there and put the record on. And we're trained by ear, we had no lessons or anything. And we sat there and worked out every note on the album. And he played all the Glenn Tipton parts, and I played all the K.K. Downing parts. And we used to sit and play
Judas
the whole
Priest,
album together.
Judas Priest are one of the best bands ever. Judas Priest are everything that a good metal band should be. Really. And it's like, what can you say?
Can I say that I like Priest a lot more than Maiden?
I like
Maiden too.
Maiden basically got a formula.
Yannick's gonna hate me for this because Yannick Gers is a good friend of mine, but he's gonna hate me for this, but I really don't like Maiden.
Never developed.
Yeah, they're okay, but Saxon are way better. They always have been. Yeah. You know, and that's it, really. It's a statement. It's my personal opinion.
I'm a big fan of their first two Maiden albums, and then after that, it kind of Number of the Beast's okay.
Number of the Beast is probably their best album.
They just
ever.
Really didn't move anywhere for me. I'm bored now.
Number of the Beast is probably for their best album.
I like the first two.
Because
I like Diano's.
I agree with you.
As a singer,
Remain and Killers.
Yeah.
I have to say that Diano is not a great singer.
No, he's not great, but he's great for that music at that time.
So he's especially not good now.
No, he looks fucked now.
But
he's in a wheelchair now.
Last time
I saw him, he's like, I'll go on stage.
He's doing better than Clive Burr.
Well, yeah. Well, everyone's doing better than Clive Burr.
Yeah. That is probably true.
He's pushing up daisies.
Yeah.
Quote of the day.
Yeah.
He's not saying much, but when he says something, yeah. he's saying the right stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't say much.
The good stuff.
He's cool. Sean's cool.
Clive was good for another beer with.
Clive, you know, Clive was
so was Dion.
Clive was a good drummer.
Exactly.
But I think he kind of
tried to get more beer. He failed.
He had a medical problem.
Seriously, no beer.
And it wasn't anything to do with drugs or anything like that. And people think that it was, but it wasn't. He had MS
2 years ago.
And he just simply couldn't play. It was as simple as that.
A few more bands
and you know, Clive was absolutely gutted when he had to give up playing in Maiden. And he knew he had to give up.
Just say there was about 12 beers.
You know, what can you say? Credit where it's due. Iron Maiden have done what they've done. And, you know, it's hard to dismiss it because they've been so successful at what they do. It's just my personal opinion that I think Saxon are a way better band.
I mean, Maiden are technically a phenomenon, really.
They are.
I mean,
they've been very
massive. You know, they're a massive band, but to some extent, I can't understand why they're massive.
Well, it's because. Yeah. The major
they got a formula?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the major record companies had to sign something from the new wave.
Yeah.
Because they were missing out. Well, they signed Maiden.
The story was they nearly signed Angelwitch, though, wasn't it?
Well,
there's a story there.
Yeah, there's a story there.
Well, best not tell
but
you.
Only the first Angelwitch album is the really good one. Sorry. But it's true.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, my wife wouldn't agree with that. She loves Angelwitch, but I don't know. The first album is a great album.
Really hard to follow that.
And it is kind of hard to follow that. But I mean, the Caught in the Act is a hard album to follow, but we did it.
Yeah, but Kevin's not Kevin.
He hasn't got the band together. You know?
But I mean,
we're
Kevin.
About that today, like if you got the bass player back.
Yeah.
That would make such a difference.
I think Kevin's his own worst enemy in a lot of ways because I think Kevin gives up too easily. And I think maybe when he should have maybe made a little bit more effort, he's kind of backed off and said, no.
You know. But I also think that we think too highly about regular listeners. Because after working in radio for 10 years, you know that the only thing people want is to hear the same song again and again and again.
It's generic music.
Yeah.
But that's the world.
And
that's the music
also
scene
because
now.
Iron Maiden
Kevin could not go on rewriting Angel Witch.
No, you know.
It's a great song, but yeah, you can't do that. You've got to move on.
And that's why Iron Maiden are big, because they aren't bad.
Well, if you
and they've done the same album
bad.
Again and again. Like AC/DC, they've done the same album
exactly.
again and again.
It's status quo,
personally.
Like we're saying. But the good bands are doing it.
My
they
personal
take
opinion.
A formula and they stick to
but
it.
They don't need three guitar players.
No, they don't.
No,
that's my point.
Just a spare
Yannick
one.
Yannick Gurz should have joined Deep Purple. Because he would have been right for that job.
Yeah, that's true.
But
Steve Morse is a great guitar player, but he's not Deep Purple. Yannick Gurz would have been a great...
But would Deep Purple have put out better albums if Yannick Gurz joined them?
Yes, I think they would. Mm. I think they would. Because Yannick is the same kind of guitar player as Ritchie Blackmore.
Mm.
And I've listened to the things that Yannick writes. Yannick writes amazing songs. And it's very much in the Deep Purple vein, and a lot of them, the style of them, you would swear that Ritchie Blackmore had wrote them.
Mm.
So yes, he is the right guy for the job. I apologise if that upsets people, but that is my opinion, and I don't think even Yannick would disagree with that.
Yannick will
but
probably
I,
listen
it probably
to this
wasn't offered
show,
the job.
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Yannick was offered the job, but he turned it down, and I don't understand why. Perhaps he was getting paid more by Maiden. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably. Deep Purple has been a great band, but they haven't been big
great.
For
They haven't been great
years.
For a long time.
No.
They haven't. And I think,
Perfect
you know...
Perfect Strangers is the last one.
Perfect Strangers
when
was
that?
The last
80s, though?
Really
was that
great
80,
album that they did.
45?
Yeah,
it was
I think
superb.
It's 30 years ago,
maybe,
at least.
Maybe even earlier.
I mean, you know, I mean, my son, Alan, is in a Deep Purple tribute band, and they... They really do sound like Deep Purple. It's uncanny how much they sound like Deep Purple. And they do songs from Perfect Strangers and Deep Purple in Rock. They do songs from Machine Head and so on.
Made in Japan.
So, you know, they're getting a lot of bookings and they're really good, you know.
I like how this turned out, this no planning stuff. Because now,
it always works.
It's his fault.
He just keeps butting in.
Yeah, he's calm and...
He's like a drummer, he just keeps butting in.
You see, see what I told you
a banana.
About
Russ?
No Russ, monkey Russ. Business. The Bananas album of Deep Purple sucked.
Well, I've never ever heard
so
that
hungry.
Album. I cannot bring myself to listen to it.
You shouldn't.
No.
You should just...
I'll take your word on that.
But that's maybe some of the problem too with bands that has been going on.
Wait, are you turning into Russ?
I'm hungry.
Well, yeah, I'm
gonna go get some food.
I'm really hungry.
Yeah, I'll let you go soon. But maybe that's why everyone likes the first album the most, because that's the one you've heard.
Well,
if you don't want to listen to new Deep Purple stuff, then you'll never know if it's. Any good
or bad, yeah, that's true.
It isn't, of course, but
I have,
since you like Disturbed,
I have
maybe
heard some pretty abysmal Deep Purple albums.
Ian
you know,
Pierce
and
is still a fucking shit hot drummer.
The thing is, you know, Come
Taste
the Band wasn't a great album. And Tommy Bolin, you know, an amazing guitar player, but he just wasn't right for Deep Purple.
Mm.
And it's a shame. Because the rivalry between Ian Gillan and Ritchie Blackmore is so great, I don't think you'll ever get them in the same room again, ever. It was remarkable that they actually managed to do Perfect
Strangers.
That's
probably how they managed to write some good stuff.
Yeah,
because sometimes that works great.
Glenn Hughes is a fucking... Even now is a fucking awesome singer. Mm.
Yes, he is, but he wasn't right for Deep Purple. He really wasn't.
That's Deep Purple 2, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Was it 3 or was it 4?
You just actually changed their name. Yeah. Yeah.
What a flipping singer that guy is.
Yeah.
It's just
Deep Purple, to me, are probably one of the greatest bands ever, you know.
Early days.
I think, you know, back in the day, it was kind of, I hate that phrase, but, you know, back in the day, there was like the big three. There was Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, and Black Sabbath.
Mm.
You either were a Deep Purple fan that liked a bit of Zeppelin, or you were a Zeppelin fan that liked a bit of Deep Purple, but everybody liked Black Sabbath.
Mm. And then it moved on to Scorpions.
The Scorpions. Priest. Yeah. Priest.
John Bonham, Bill Ward, Ian Pierce,
Sean Taylor.
No.
Thank you and good night.
Since you're a drummer, do you like Rush?
Oh, fuck off.
You got to
like
Rush. Everybody likes
Rush. All musicians like Rush.
How can you not like Rush?
Geddy Lee. Unfucking believable.
Yeah.
Hemispheres. Neil Peart.
Every musician that.
Caress of Steel.
Guitarist, bass player.
2112.
Singer, everything. Rush, I just like, wow.
We played. Blitzkrieg played a festival in Slovenia.
Metal Camp?
Yeah. And Rush played, and it was amazing. I just had to go and see it.
We did Sweden Rock.
We played at Sweden Rock. You know, I mean, they were just so good.
Mm.
And it's kind of hard to dismiss it and say, oh, it's easy. You know, people say, oh, I mean, one of my best friends doesn't like Rush.
Mm.
And I'll say, but Jeff, why don't you like Rush? I just don't like
Rush. One of the very few bands that has never had a hit single. Never kind of been commercialised, but they can still fill arenas.
Yes,
like 5,000 people go and see them and go.
I think you either like Rush or you don't. Really,
some of them are musicians. I reckon half of them are musicians probably watching them.
But I guess that the reason you don't like them is if you don't understand them.
Yeah,
It took a while before I got
Geddy
used
Lee's
to Geddy Lee's vocals
are quite
vocal.
Hard to take on.
But you just have to get used to them.
Yes,
and if you don't, then you're fucked.
It was groundbreaking. It was different. And when Rush first came out, it was like so different to everything else that you were listening to at the time. It was refreshingly different, and it was complicated music. It was progressive, you know, kind of like the way Yes had been a few years before.
I think they took shitloads from Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but the first couple of albums are just rock and roll albums.
Mm.
Yeah,
and I like them the best.
And I think they found...
When they were a new band.
They found a formula, I think.
They had that energy in the
very basic production and everything. And
yeah, for three pieces, amazing though.
And then obviously got a lot of money and.
It's like, you know, Led Zeppelin. You know, you listen to Led Zeppelin. I remember seeing Led Zeppelin live many, many years ago before they actually released Led Zeppelin 1.
Mm.
And it was just so basic. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Nah, just,
yet years later, every album has about 10 guitars on
there. I've emptied it.
And you can't possibly reproduce that live. You know, why did they do that?
Once you don't slip.
I really don't know. But, you know, Jimmy Page has to be probably one of the greatest guitar players ever. Mm. Really, he does. Mm. Personally, I prefer Ritchie Blackmore, but that's just my choice.
If the song's really actually...
And I dare say Steve would probably prefer Tony Iommi. It's just a personal choice at the end of the day. But everybody likes Priest.
The most innovative is Jimmy Page.
Yeah,
but this
that violin bow was bloody awful though.
Yeah,
we're all starting to get hungry. I haven't been eating since 2 today. And you want beer? I have beer if you want.
Yeah. I don't want beer.
Yeah, we need beer.
Yeah, I don't want beer.
Beer's good.
I have liquor.
Food.
There he is.
Matza.
But because the one thing we don't have are the songs and a jingle. And a photo, of course.
Right, of course.
But now we've been talking for 45 minutes.
Well, that was the short interview then.
Yes.
What happened to the 15 minutes?
I knew that we were going to talk longer than that.
It's been wrong.
But the good thing about my show is it's the last show that day. So I can always expand it.
Yeah.
So,
it's going to be a long show.
Usually I ask for 10 songs, but now I actually need 15 probably.
Yeah, it was only last week.
Better for us.
It was only last week we've seen it.
What about you picking one Satan song each and then... four other songs each?
For me, it's got to be Another Universe.
Fall of Persephone for me. Fall of
Persephone.
Siege Mentality.
There you go. See,
just like you said.
I told you. It would be you ask five people what their favourite song is.
All different.
For years, it would have been Blades of Steel for me, all the way. But I think one of my greatest regrets is that we don't actually play that song live. Another Universe. We don't play it live. And I know the reason why we don't play it live. There's been a lot of requests for it, but we've kind of moved on to a new album, and we had to do, obviously, promote the new album. And Fall of Persephone is probably, the replacement song, if you like, of that. So we've never really got around to doing it, but I would love to do that song at some point. It is my favourite Satan song, I think.
Right. What about other bands? It should be metal, heavy metal, progressive.
That's easy for me. First one, Judas Priest, Painkiller.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Black Sabbath. Something early. Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. To go for that one.
You can choose a track from Cultura by Breed 77.
Breed 77? Okay. Never heard.
Yeah.
Well, really good.
My Legos.
Well,
one of the best live bands I've ever seen.
If it's not new metal, I'll maybe like it. Yeah.
Oh, in that case, I'm going to put in Disturbed, Sounds of Silence.
Of course you are. He loves Disturbed. And I have to play Disturbed in my show.
Well.
I would never have done it if it wasn't for him.
There you go. You might even listen to their new album.
Yeah, seriously. I will.
It's seriously good.
But still, it hurts. It hurts in my heart just thinking that I'm going to put Disturbed on air. But
the future of metal is there.
I'll do it for you.
Thank you very much.
Do I have to choose
I love you for that.
Yeah. I need four songs from each of you.
Can I just throw a spanner in the works and then choose Pendulum? Propane.
It's the convention.
Yeah.
Stronger bass.
You can.
It probably won't fit in your show at all, but I like it.
You can choose whatever you want, even though I don't like it. I can't say anything because you're the ones.
We're picking the songs.
Deep Purple, Highway Star.
Okay, good. So it's not only new metal. Thank you.
Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath.
Oh. There you go. That is a good one.
Do I have a choice too?
You.
Led later. Zeppelin.
We'll do that when we come to Oslo. Then we can have a show.
Four
okay?
songs.
Led Zeppelin. How many more times?
Good.
I'll throw another spanner in. Adele. Skyfall.
Adele's not. It's not metal.
That's not. Metal.
I don't care.
No.
Get lost.
Okay.
Can I not throw Skyfall in? Just put it in.
Yeah, but
because it might educate someone.
Yeah, of course.
But she doesn't
but
pronounce
to,
the.
No, but
Skyfall.
You have to tell me. You have to tell me why you picked that song.
Because
her
voice
metal.
Is great.
Oh my God.
She and, does have a great voice.
She's
I'll
got
give
a fucking.
That.
It's like a creamy, sexy voice.
See, I could. I. You're breaking the rules.
I know, but I listen to all sorts
I
of
could
shit.
Choose.
Why
I
can't I choose all the shit I listen to at home?
It's a rock show.
Well, I don't
I
care.
Choose a song.
Music.
What the fuck, Devak?
It's, all right. It's okay if he has a good reason, but.
Yeah,
he,
that's my reason.
Yeah, but she has a good voice. Isn't good enough. What does the? Yeah, but what does the song make you feel? Yeah, but how does the song make you feel?
Here's a one for you.
A little bit.
If he's going to go slightly
I'll think of a reason.
Yeah, give me Mamas and the Papas or
no.
the Kinks.
Yeah,
or
what, I'll,
as well.
What I'll give you is T-Rex Buick McCain.
All right.
not the Guns N' Roses version, the original T-Rex.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is a great song.
Yeah, Tyrant,
Judas Priest.
And you were going to play Guns N' Roses.
Mudhead Overkill.
No.
Oh, we're going to go for Mudhead Overkill. Yeah, metal.
No. If you're going to go Motorhead, Motorhead, it's got to be Ace of Spades.
Shasta to choose four
okay.
songs.
New modern songs by
four songs.
Singers.
I'm choosing four songs that I like.
I didn't hear the last one.
Overkill.
Okay. It's okay.
Have I
yeah,
another one?
It's by Motorhead.
Adele and Overkill.
Yeah. I'll have a broad scope.
Speed King.
Speaking Deep Purple,
yeah.
I like
Thank
his
you.
Style.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's more than four.
It's Raining Men. Jerry Halliwell.
No.
The shit version of the song.
No.
It's not, you know, it is the best version of the song.
But you know, I actually dressed as Jerry Halliwell at the bachelorette party once.
Oh my word.
It had a Spice Girls theme, and then I was
Did
like.
Did you have a Union Jack?
If
no,
dress on.
But it was golden,
thank,
and then it was just as short.
Thank God,
because
a
Union Jack dress was.
I wouldn't have been responsible for my actions if
a Union dress.
I was legal, so
yeah, that's cool.
Jerry Halliwell is
we'll
a beautiful
legal.
Lady.
So should you put on a Spice Girls song while talking like Venom? They just picked shitty songs.
Do you know the amazing thing about Venom is? Blitzkrieg did a cover version of Countess Bathory, and now Venom do the cover version of the Blitzkrieg version of Countess Bathory. They do not do their original song because we did it better. And that is amazing.
And then you should round it all up and do the Candlemass version.
Nah.
Countess Bathory.
No.
Like that.
Nah.
I don't know how many songs we're up to now, but...
That's enough.
I've only
Rush.
Said
that's got to be enough for a show.
Yeah.
Bit of Rush there.
Can you do a jingle, and after that we can go eat and drink?
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. My show is called Jernverket.
Okay, that's easy for you to say.
Yeah, you can... Listen now! Yeah, it means iron works. It's where you melt iron, you know? Jernverket.
Jernverket. Can you get that? Jernverket.
You could make a cool jingle, or you could just be boring and say, "Hi, we're from Satan, and you're listening to Jernverket." Or you can do something cool. As long as you say who you are and which show you're listening to.
Who am I? And which show am I listening to?
This is Brian Ross from Satan, and you're listening to Jan Riker, and it's not boring, it's not uncool, it is the most cool show you'll ever listen to, and particularly our choices of songs, listen to it.
Especially since the hostess has been Jerry Halliwell once.
Right. Yes. That's going to be good.
Now I need your photo, and after
tonight,
that,
Matthew,
food and drinks. I need it.
Okay,
can you sit there?
You've got a bit of a tan again, Matt.
Du har hørt et intervju med Satan spalt inn sommeren 2016, og første helga I mars kommer de til The Abyss Festival I Göteborg. Neste vekka skal vi høre igjen et intervju med Jævel.
Det var jo en periode hvor Sunt faktisk funket, sånn som når Bård holdt med en på vei. Det var stemningsskapende i stedet for valsskapende. Som det som mangler på plata.
Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Det kurant om du gir podcasten full pott på en plattformen du bruker. Det sånn den stiger på listene, og folk skjønner at Hardrock tingen. Og vi ute etter nye samarbeidspartnere akkurat nå, så hvis du sugen på annonser via podcast, kan du sende meg en melding. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for månedens album fra Katakomben, diskusjoner, konkurranser og nyheter. Hele Stenkløv, det meg, og jeg gir deg et nytt eller gammelt Hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!